All right. We have a few remaining minutes together that I wanted to kind of wrap up what I started on Sunday morning. I just had a few more thoughts to share with you about the forgotten name at Christmas. And who was that? The Father. The Father oftentimes gets neglected. I only found one Christmas hymn, Of the Father's Love Begotten, which is one of the most ancient of our Christmas hymns that makes a complete two stanza reference to the Father sending His Son. Kind of an interesting side note. But I wanted to conclude, and I left with this slide on Sunday, the sent and sending Son. The sent and sending Son. In Mark chapter 13, we learn in verse 32 that the sending has not stopped, because God the Father is going to send His Son again. Amen? He's going to send His Son again. Listen to verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now let that just soak in for just a moment. The Father knows when He's going to send His Son, but the Son doesn't know. Now, I don't understand all the theological ramifications of that, but there are some things that God the Father has not completely shared with the Son. Now, that doesn't make the Son less God. Please don't go there, all right? That doesn't make the Son less God. That just simply indicates that the Father has kept this one thing that we're told about when He's sending His Son back to earth again. And when He comes the second time, the Bible says He's going to come in judgment. The first coming was judgment against sin. The second coming is going to be the judgment against the nations of the earth, and then the establishment of His kingdom here upon the earth. And it's going to be a glorious day. As a matter of fact, we're told that at the Battle of Armageddon that the saints will not participate in that battle. For it will be the work of Jesus alone as He rides there and destroys the enemies of His people. What an amazing day that's going to be. But there's another thought that I want to give to you, and that's found in John chapter 20 and verse 21 that I want to leave you with this evening. And that is the sending Son. Not only has He been sent the first time and will be sent the second time, but He has sent us. And I want us to see that in closing tonight. In John chapter 20 and verse 21 we read, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now what is interesting is there's two different words for send that's used in this verse of Scripture. He said, The Father hath sent me. And He uses a word that is in the command form. The Father commanded the Son to go. He was sent on a mission. That's the word that's used there. And then Jesus turns to us and He says, I am sending you, but He uses a very different Greek word. And the interesting thing about this word, it means to insert. To insert. We have been working in our Bible class. We've been preparing shoebox Christmas gifts for Berry Hill Manor. And we're including a card and Bible verses inside there with a tract, gospel message inside that tract. We've been inserting the tracts into the card. And that tract is very important because it has a clear message and presentation of the gospel. Now, the idea behind this word that's used here of Jesus sending us is He is inserting us into what? The world. Do you know, Christian, that God has inserted you? As a matter of fact, you could go on, this particular word, pimpo, means to thrust forward into. To thrust forward into. I'll give you an illustration of this. When Roger and I graduated from high school, we worked for Mr. Coleman, whose grandfather had helped build I-10 from the Alabama line all the way over to Holmes County. He was the contractor hired by the United States government to build I-10 in the 1950s. All that equipment was located in Holly, Navarre. It was all sitting out there, massive bulldozers and graders and so forth like that were built in the 40s. It was like going back in time. And he said, I want to teach you boys how to start a D9 Caterpillar. All right? A D9 Caterpillar is one of the largest that they had built. It had a 12-foot blade on it. As a matter of fact, whenever he hauled it to Avalon Boulevard to clear property off of Avalon, they had to close the bridge across Blackwater River because the blade was so wide it covered both lanes. That was the old bridge when he brought it across. And I remember him, he said, all right, I'm going to show you how to do it. We have to start the pony motor. Man, I was just soaking this all in. And when he started that thing up, it scared us to death. There was fire coming out of that engine. It blew the muffler off. It hadn't been running a while. But he got it running, and he said, all right, guys, there's a secret to this. You have got to thrust this lever in order for that pony motor to engage the massive clutch that's going to turn this massive diesel engine over and get it started. Todd, come here. I didn't weigh maybe 120 pounds at the time. And I went over there and he said, I'll give you the signal. Now, here I am standing on this big D9 Caterpillar. I looked like a little child up there. It was so massive. And he said, when I give you the signal. So he revved that motor up. It was just blasting away. And he said, go! And I did everything I could. And it was just like, and it kicked it out. My arms were just like this, all right? Roger came up, all right? And we got that thing started. Took both of us to engage and thrust that thing into it. But once we did, the pony motor began to... And then the big diesel black smoke started coming out of the stack. And slowly it started, and that big engine was going. From a little two-piston pony motor. This is the perfect illustration to me of God using us. God has taken little two-piston people and He said, I want you to take my gospel in the world. I'm going to insert you into this world. God choosing us to communicate His word. We are sent. We are inserted. We're literally thrust into this world to carry the message of Jesus Christ to lost sinners. I have to say, I think about this verse quite often in my Bible class. God has thrust me in to 11th and 12th graders' lives to give them the truth. I pray for them. I want to see them saved. I've had some great conversations with some of them this year. There's some that just seem not to be moving toward God. There are others that want to do what's right and want to do honor the Lord with their lives. But God has inserted me into their lives. I take that seriously. Very seriously. God has thrust you into families that don't know Jesus. God has thrust you into a workplace where people don't know Jesus. Are you taking up that sending responsibility given to us in John 20 and verse 21, where He said, peace, all right, be unto you, as my Father has sent, apostello. We get our word, what from it? What does that sound like? Apostle, one who is sent, all right? The Lord commanded him to come, an order given to go. But He has told us, I've inserted you into this world so you can be a witness and testimony for me. At this Christmas time, I want to remind you all, we're going to be around family members that are lost. We're going to be exposed to people that are in our circle of friends. You've got a mailman or a mailwoman that delivers the mail. Do they know you're a Christian? Are we communicating with them? Usually it's just, you hear the car drive up, you hear the mailbox open, slide in the stuff, wham, and off they go. What can we do to witness to our mail delivery people? We've been inserted. What can we do to reach out to them? I could give you a list of all kinds of people that we're exposed to on a daily basis that need the gospel. Jesus was commanded to come, and He came, and He accomplished everything to save lost sinners. There's nothing more that has to be done. But He's also inserted us into the time period in which our lives are lived, whether it be 50 years, 70 years, 100 years. If you're a born-again child of God, God's inserted you into this world, and your job is not to assume people are saved. Do I hear an amen? Oh, how easy that is. Oh, they grew up in a Christian family. It must be. Oh, no, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. That's like assuming a dog belongs to a certain neighbor and finding out after you get bit that it doesn't belong to that neighbor. All right? You thought it was, but it wasn't. It was a stray dog. And he may have rabies. Don't assume. People are saved. Reach out to them because you have been inserted in this time period in history to be the bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You so much for this wonderful verse of Scripture. It's so clear, and yet so many times we're so wrapped up in our little worlds that all we think about is the holidays, and we think about where we're going to go and what we're going to do and all those things. Meanwhile, lost sinners don't hear the gospel. Meanwhile, they're never confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ. You've inserted us. You have thrust us into this world for a reason, for a purpose. Dear Father, I pray that we would be about that purpose of reaching out to a lost and dying world. Father, bless us now as we go our ways. Help us to carry this thought with us as we approach the Christmas day and beyond. Lord, every day, not just at holidays, we need to be a witness for Thee. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.